This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things in the Umpqua Valley. The primary election ballots are out, and so we're talking to more candidates right now. Republican candidate for Congress Monique Despain is on. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be here.
All right. So overall, talk about how your campaign is going so far.
We are just going strong with our grassroots ground game. We've launched a door knocking campaign. We've already hit nearly 2,000 doors, and we're just going to keep on going, getting the word out. Public speaking engagements and meeting with veterans group chambers. It's all being met with very positive support.
And of course, one of the aspects of any campaign, especially one at this level, is money. Frankly, how's fundraising coming along?
Yeah, frankly, we lost last time because we fell short on money. So that has been a continued priority. I'm proud to say we outraised the incumbent by 300% in Q4 when we launched a rematch on October 1st of 25. That hit national news because it's so rare for a challenging Republican to outraise a sitting Democrat. Only five did that. Three of them are self-funded millionaires. So I'm so proud of the support that I'm getting from grassroots Oregonians that are ready for fresh new leadership.
And did you find it easier on the fundraising side this time around?
It certainly is an improvement. We raised nearly $400,000 in just 90 days. That was refreshing. I think that it is going easier this time, yes.
Now, you ran last time around. Most people know that. What motivated you to make a second attempt at getting into Congress?
You know, we did really well in 2024. In less than 1 year, we outperformed any Republican who's run in the district for many years. I came out of nowhere. I'm not a career politician. I'm not a career candidate. And so people didn't know me. We have a lot of discerning voters out there. They know me now. We outperformed the Trump campaign all through the district, which means we reached beyond the Republican base, which is what we need to do. My common sense priorities are resonating with all parties, people who want public safety, they want affordability, they want a government that is held accountable to the people instead of the other way around. And so we quite simply fell short on cash. And so I'm just unabashed in telling people, if you want a different congresswoman, everybody needs to pitch in, and you can contribute at MoniqueForCongress.com.
And remind people of your background before you get to this point.
Well, I'm a retired Air Force colonel, but I had a dual civilian and military career. I've been working in the private sector for much of my military career, but for 20 of the 30 years I was in the Air Force, I was a JAG, conducting investigations, managing legal staffs, crafting policy within the Air Force, around the JAG Corps and other areas. And as a lawyer, I've been corporate counsel with many companies and been in private practice representing small businesses and families. Most recently, I worked at the law firm of Kevin Mannix and at Common Sense for Oregon.
And if you were to describe maybe the top issues that drive your campaign, what are they?
Affordability. Getting back to the prosperous Oregon that we once had. Safety, public safety. We're just so unsafe in Oregon because of the combination of state and federal, the lack of cooperation between them, but the fentanyl, the homelessness, the property crimes through the roof. So public safety and accountable, transparent, accountable government, like I said, that is accountable to us, not just our government just looks to us to pay taxes, to pay their special projects, right? They're not producing results that the citizens of Oregon want to see.
And how would you contrast yourself with the incumbent?
Well, I'm not a career politician. I've been producing results and delivering a productive bottom line to businesses and clients and making a difference in the Air Force, conducting investigations where there's an actual result and a recommendation and accountability. Career politicians, the one our opponent doesn't seem to feel like she's accountable to the people. She's continuing to be ethically challenged. Just on last month, April 23rd, we launched a website called whatsvalhiding.com. And there you can see the contrast between me and my opponent. She's under investigation for cash contributions, for awarding a federal grant unlawfully. She most recently violated the STOCK Act, an act that causes Congress people to have to report their stock trades because they have insider information. Well, Val Hoyle has quadrupled her personal assets by violating the Stock Act and failing to report. She increased her wealth 400% in just the 3 years that she's been in Congress while she was serving on committees that had oversight over companies like Lockheed Martin and Boeing, companies that she invests in. So this whatsvalhiding.com is a comprehensive source of cited and referenced information. It's all public information. But that Stock Act violation is new information. And so is the results of another BOLI audit that squarely placed the dysfunction of BOLI on our congresswoman's shoulders.
And let's switch gears a little bit. We're going into fire season soon. We've been doing some segments talking about that. What are your concerns about the potential for large fires in the 4th District this season?
Well, we certainly had a very mild winter and kind of behind on the rainfall that we need for the year. But even when we have rainfall, we're having mega fires due to the lack of forest management. It's pretty common sense that if we leave fuels in the forests, that they will burn and ignite easily, whether it's from arsonists or natural causes or human causes. And so I am concerned. You know, just recently there was an article published in a couple places that said that Eugene and Springfield have the second worst air quality in the country. And it's in large part to these mega fires that have just become a regular smoke season. I will advance policy. I already am. If you go to my website, MoniqueForCongress.com, you'll see in the news tab many press releases I've issued in support of some legislation that Congressman Cliff Bence is advancing to access our ONC lands and to be good stewards of our forests where they've been abandoned and not managed. I do support that we harvest timber responsibly, sustainably, and that will reduce the fires that we can expect every fall until we do, summer and fall. Until we start actively managing our forests, we can expect that fire season, and it's just a tragic, sad thing that my opponent is silent on.
No, I ran across some information this morning, and I didn't grab it to bring it in, but it sounded like the Forest Service was behind on wildfire mitigation projects for this year versus last. That might impact things as well.
There have been some good things that have come down from this federal administration to enhance forest management and prevent forest fires. And I do want to say, you know, I was egregiously misquoted by Patrick Moore with the News Review when I had a press conference with him to talk about what's Val hiding. But he brought up the Fix Our Forest Act and misrepresented to the public. Our congresswoman voted against the Fix Our Forest Act in 2024, and she got a lot of pushback from me and other people who are concerned about forest management. And so then she did vote for a watered down version after she suffered some ramifications of voting against it. That act really is a good start to progress on forest management, reducing litigation, and getting a lot of federal regulations out of the way. So there really is a lot of good stuff happening that Oregon representatives need to step up and support. And I'll be that congressperson.
Now, housing is a big issue everywhere, including in the 4th District, obviously. What's the role, or what do you believe the role of the federal level should be in improving the situation?
Well, the federal government needs to get out of the way. But since we were just talking about forest management, wouldn't it be common sense to use some of our own timber to build houses in Oregon? That would reduce the price, I'm sure. But the federal government has a role in regulating and bureaucratic surveying, permitting, land use laws, NEPA, which is an act I would have supported that my opponent voted against. It's called the SPEED Act, standardizing, permitting, expediting economic development, which specifically addressed removing the barriers presented by NEPA, National Environmental Act Protection Act. So there's a very strong nexus, connection between the federal code, rules, and laws and the housing problem that we have. We need to reduce all that red tape. Also, we need to get creative about using land. You know, there's a big piece of BLM property right in Eugene over by a Walmart. I mean, it's just, you know, unused. In fact, for a long time, it attracted a lot of homeless camps. Why can't that be used for housing? You know, I'm going to look for solutions, do the work, get the stakeholders to the table, and definitely federal representatives should be actively engaging in addressing the housing shortage that we have all through the 4th District and in Oregon.
And of course, tied into housing is that homeless aspect. Do you see any improvement in that situation in the 4th District?
No, nobody does. In fact, it's grown by 35%. In Oregon. It's just unacceptable. We continue to fund failure. And I'm not going to support that. We need to hold all these nonprofits and state and federal agencies that are presumably, allegedly serving the homeless, the addicted, and the mentally ill, and they need to be held accountable. I reject the housing first model. Yes, people need shelter in order to address their issues of addiction and mental illness, but the housing first model is housing only, and it fails, and there's ample evidence of that. I also don't support these harm reduction policies that are all harm and no reduction. We need to get rid of that. We need to focus on recovery and getting people into treatment and then getting them on a path to recovery. So there's a direct federal nexus there too. Housing HUD funds are directed to these problems, and it's not working. It all needs to be revamped, and there is good there are good executive orders right now that need to be codified in Congress that will hold the homeless industrial complex accountable for producing results, which to me mean returning people to purposeful lives and not just growing a continuously growing dependent class.
And let's talk about the role of Congress in a different area. What about the economy? How do you work as a federal representative to improve the economy in your district?
Well, again, removing red tape for businesses so that they're not just crushed with taxes and regulatory requirements, so that they have a profit margin, so that they're not forced to pass extra costs onto the consumer, which is often how those increased taxes and costs are handled by businesses. They have to pass it on to the consumer. So I'm going to remove, you know, back to the homelessness issue. I just talked to a business owner who has an RV repair business, and he spent $100,000 last year because of the vandalism on his customers' RVs, cutting the cables off for the copper that's in them. He had to put all new fencing around the property, had to replace his customers' losses, $100,000. That drives businesses out of business and out of town, or they pass those expenses to their consumers. So all of these dynamics are being borne by the businesses. So that work has to be done. I'd lower interest rates. I'd push the Fed to lower interest rates. Any policy that comes across my desk as your congresswoman, I would push for that. We also need to produce more goods at home and reduce the impact of shipping costs from overseas. I advocate for growing our own food, making our own pharmaceuticals, just America first policies that serve Americans and get them the products they need at an affordable price.
So if you looked at your viewpoints politically, do you find yourself in kind of a traditional conservative mode, or is there some libertarian influence? How do you kind of shake out on your viewpoints?
You know, it's too bad we're all stuck on labels. I mean, there's a little bit of everything, you know. I just believe in that a representative in Congress should be working to protect life, liberty, and happiness. And our opponent just simply refuses to protect life, liberty, and happiness. And what I mean by that is I'm aligned with the notion that the federal government should be small, efficient, and serve the enumerated powers that are laid out in the Constitution and not reach beyond that. I'd like to see our federal government do its enumerated responsibilities very effectively. And then really never consider on taking on more. So I think that Oregonians are just not heard. I've campaigned all across the district talking to parents, business owners, individuals who are just struggling to afford a home. Food prices are up. Gas prices are up. We need to start having conversations with all stakeholders and not just be dug in with our jerseys on and our party affiliation and start solving the problems. I mean, the forest management issue is the issue that touches everything that I've talked about in my campaign. And we should get stakeholders together that want our forests to stop burning and we access that timber. It could fund law enforcement, schools, and take so much pressure off businesses. Instead of looking to people, businesses, and their property for raising revenue, we should be accessing our natural resources in Oregon.
You've got the extensive military background. You've talked about that, and maybe you've got a unique perspective on this. What are your thoughts on this whole Iran conflict situation? What do you believe the U.S. role should be there?
Well, generally, I support the elimination of threats to our country. And, you know, it's so interesting because presidents for decades past have been saying that they would take very serious actions against Iran if it developed, obtained and developed nuclear weapons. And I agree that we don't want a terrorist country to have nuclear weapons, new missile development capacity. They're the largest state sponsor of terrorism on Earth. And so I fully support minimizing their threat to our country.
Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress on Inside Douglas County. A few minutes left here. If you were to be elected, got into D.C. and put into office next year, what would your top priorities be? What would you be wanting to do as quick as you could?
Well, I just mentioned the priority is really forest management, reducing the restrictions on businesses, and just unleashing the economic prosperity that is just within reach for Oregonians. We need to get the barriers out of the way, the naysayers out of the way. We have to stop telling the people of Oregon no and get to yes. So I'd be hopeful to get on the Energy and Commerce Committee, Natural Resources Committee, get into positions where I can raise Oregon's voice in those conversations.
And as an person entering Congress, though, how would you work to get those committee assignments? Because I know sometimes getting the ones you really want is not easy the first time you're in office.
Yeah, it's not the first time I've been working in a bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. I spent quite a bit of time in the Pentagon. I've worked with leadership many times over my 30, 40 years. And so it won't be any different in Congress. You communicate, you cooperate, you bring all the stakeholders together. I will work with anyone who wants to solve the problems that we just talked about in this hour, who wants to bring affordability back to Oregon, who wants to secure our border, who wants to keep Americans and Oregonians safe. I'll have conversations across the aisle. I think there are a lot of Democrats that are working for the people. And so Oregon, for the first time in a long time, will have a congressperson sticking up for Oregon and raising Oregon's voice and demanding results.
Now, as you go through the campaign, the ballots are out there. Talk about some of the upcoming events you have around the district.
Well, I do spend a lot of time in Roseburg because we're door knocking. We have just some wonderful volunteers. I lost my place on my notes here. Well, I was recently speaking to the Military Officers Association in Eugene. I visited logging operation there near Roseburg. I'm knocking door to door to connect with constituents in Roseburg every other weekend or so. And we're doing a meet and greet coming up in Yonkala on May 17th, another one on May 21st in Corvallis. And just continuing to get out and go to neighborhood association meetings, veteran events, Chamber of Commerce events.
All right, Monique Despain running for Congress. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.